ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's also Wednesday. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. We missed her last week, so she is here today. And as I said, it's Wednesday, June 12th, 2019. I think we have Dave on the line first.
Happy hump day, Melody and Wendy.
Well, hello there, and we'll be talking to you right after this market report. There's tons of things to talk about today, and I saw we didn't have it on our little outline that we were going to discuss today, but there was new numbers came out just right before the program. Federal spending tops $3 trillion through May. And we'll talk about that when we come back from our, as we go into our second segment today. So incredible numbers. And then people want to know, well, gee, why is the stock market high? That's a lot of stimulus there, ladies and gentlemen. But let's go ahead and see what gold is doing today. And let me get to those prices. We still managed to be up today. Last time I looked, with a little bit stronger dollar, gold was up $6.30 today at $1,333.60. Silver was up 3 pennies today at $14.84. Continues to fight that $15 mark. That truly is that really is a magic number for silver. Platinum was down $5 today at $815, but palladium was up a little over 1%, $15 at $14.15. That's $1,415. The USDX today, drum roll please, up 0.27, up 0.27 at 97 on the nose. Crude oil was down 2.28 at 50.99. And let's see what the paper markets to do. Hadn't had the opportunity to follow it today. It was a little pressure all day long, down 42 points on the Dow, still holding that 26,000 level, but barely 26,004. The NASDAQ was down 29 points at 7,792. The S&P, 2,879, down 6. 10-year yield, 2.13%. Hong Kong, I think that's interesting to follow with everything that's going on over there, was down almost another, about 1.75%. And everything else is pretty much same old, but some big headlines about our debt. And we'll be talking about those, as I mentioned, as we head into or as we come out of our and into our second segment. Wendy Wilson is joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. How do you do, Wendy?
Hello, Melody. Hello, Dave. Hey.
Hi.
He's out there somewhere in the ether. I hear him.
Yeah.
I do apologize for not being here last week. We had computer issues and I could not connect with you, so I do apologize. And I did get calls from your listeners saying, hey, where were you? We're going to be talking about today biotech drugs, but first we got to understand there's some undeniable signs. So we're going to look at a national checkup real quick here. And according to the Center for Disease Control, you know, they're supposed to track disease threats, you know, discover the cause of disease, neutralize the disease if possible, reduce the mortality rate. But we have this growing problem with infectious disease in the United States that we haven't seen in over 100 years. So actually one Los Angeles physician said the city of Los Angeles is buckling under the strain of immigrants and disease, and it's worse than any American has ever encountered in a long time, he said. Now this is Dr. Drew Pinsky, and he describes the conditions in Los Angeles as very serious. They have an infestation problem with rodents. They have a complete breakdown. So these are very strong, concerning words from a physician there. This is what he says, quote, "We have a complete breakdown in the basic needs of civilization in Los Angeles. Rampant illegal immigration, homelessness, and rodent infestation is ushering in infectious disease and is worse than any third world country." He says, "We have three prongs of airborne disease. We have tuberculosis, rodent-borne infection, and typhoid fever." Now, according to Dr. Pinsky, he also says that the city has is the only city in the entire nation that has no plans for rodent control. They have no rodent control program. He also says the sanitation system is so weak it's breaking down, and their infrastructure is failing. Sidewalks, roads, storm drains, all in poor condition. So this is a problem, especially when you get infectious diseases like typhoid fever and tuberculosis, which are usually carried by really bad sanitation conditions. So let me read you this from the CDC. They report that in the tuberculosis area, they said that the rates of tuberculosis are high among the immigrants, and it's risen to almost 65% by 2013 in this nation. They say California, Texas, New York, and Florida, which are your high access points for immigrants, these four states carry a third of the U.S. population and about 52% of the tuberculosis cases.
Wow.
So there's a direct correlation there. So what we want to also look at is this conference that ended, I believe, today. It's a Bio International Convention conference in Philadelphia, because you know, for a long time we hear about the government researching, putting in, implementing plans to enforce things that will protect us from things like global pandemics. Lots of reports have been written on these emergency type services that have been put into place, and the hospitals are gearing up and so forth and so on. So we had this big meeting of the minds starting on Monday the 10th and supposedly ended today. And it was supposed to discuss all the biological threats our globe or our nation can face. So if you want to know who was at the conference, it's kind of a who's who, long list of credentials, but we had physicians there, pharmacists there, scientists, engineers, defense specialists, the FDA was there, the National Institute of Health was there, lots of educators, and even big pharma reps were there. So they had 16,000 people at this
wow.
conference from 67 different countries, and they gathered together to, they wanted to discuss, get this, the lack of drugs and vaccines for biological attacks that are coming, not may be coming, they say is coming. And they all agree it's going to happen. Huge pandemic, epic proportion pandemic, they all agree it's going to happen. So here's what they discussed on their checklist. They got to stockpile vaccines. They got to stockpile needles and syringes. They need to get better technology to track the bio threats and to predict them. They also need bio sniffing sensors and all these anti-infective drugs. So actually, one of the Department of Health and Human Services guys there, this is Tyler Merkley. He says, in the future, we're not going to know when we're going to be sick. We're going to know it before we actually get sick. So they're going to predict when you're going to get a pandemic, Melanie. How you like that? But here's nice. Something that was really interesting. One of the guys at the conference, a medical doctor, David Horn, he is with a Defense Threat Reduction Agency. He said he wanted to see Americans prepared with, get this, immune system boosters and vitamin C supplements. Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I like him. I really do. But you know what? We're going to need more broad-spectrum herbs. We're also going to need herbs that have anti-germicides in them and pandemic-fighting capabilities for sure. And, you know, we have those herbs. They're here, so we can use them. So we need herbs of that caliber. And because we need those type of herbs, they contain high amounts of vitamins like vitamin C and other minerals your drugs don't contain, okay? So they do help you. But this whole meeting was all about pretty much fear. I think one of the Dr. Derek Muir, he's a deputy assistant secretary with the Countering Weapons of Mass Destructions Department. He kind of paints this picture that our biological attack is going to happen at any moment, and we have no remedies available. He said, quote, "It takes too darn long for drug companies to get the cures to market." End of quote. And then one of the assistant secretaries for preparedness and response for the Department of Health and Human Services, Dr. Robert Kadlick, he says, we don't have enough needles and syringes and supplies. That was his problem. He didn't have enough needles. And but you know what? Nobody at this conference even brought up the problem of a pandemic a disease spreading through the infected immigrants coming into the country. So these agencies are really supposed to be looking at all possible avenues for disease to spread, but they have this huge blind spot with regards to this political hot potato of immigration. And the reasonable conclusion is that, you know, they would rather ignore it than to say that, you know, a valid pandemic risk could be from people being sick with a disease coming into the nation. So here's what Dr. Mirror said. He says the United States government can't keep up with the level of technology which is diffused across the world. Everybody has it, including our adversaries. He says the biggest problem is timing. A biological attack or natural occurring pandemic could come at any moment. It takes drug companies 12 years to develop new drugs. But you have to remember, no, Melly, if there's a pandemic, what do you suppose the drug companies are going to do? They're going to fast track something because they can. It's in the legal documents that they can do that. They can skip all the testing when there's a pandemic at our door and time is of the essence. So you would be the test group. The public would be the test group whenever they get something together. I want people to remember that.
And there'd be so much fear. There's no one that would even, you know, second guess anything. This is to me, it even seems like a little push on the FDA to loosen some of these regulations now.
Yeah.
Because we hear all of this about lower medication, lower, you know, everything else. Prices are supposed to go lower and lower, and that's all part of it. So it's, you know what? To me, I think a pandemic, it is. I mean, when you look at everything is crumbling and our infrastructure, and you're right. It seems like everything is so dirty. I mean, it is scary.
I know. It's sort of like, you know, you walk the streets of America, it was almost like being at Disney World. Everything was pristine, you know, and that's not the case, especially in San Francisco now. I hear it's pretty disgusting. But what we have is a government that's got bogged down in this quagmire. We have too many expensive agencies that aren't sharing data. They don't coordinate and plan responses well, and they don't agree on a plan. So I think Americans had better do their own due diligence and prepare their own plan without counting on these agencies, because they may hastily manufacture a drug and fast-track it without any testing, because politicians and drug companies will claim there's no time for testing and the new treatment, you know, is here.
And they're not looking at how to prevent it.
No, let's get to that for a minute. Let's talk about Homeland Security for a second, because the Department of Homeland Security, it really hasn't been doing its job either. The Washington Examiner and a government watchdog group reported on the Department of Homeland Security and the Inspector General's report. The Department of Homeland Security, let's just say it, they're not prepared to deal with any massive pandemic whatsoever, with one exception, which I'll mention in a moment. So according to the Department of Homeland Security Inspector General's report, they were given $47 million in funds to get prepared. And it's 13 years later, and they don't have any procedures in place to help protect the nation from a plague or pandemic. And you think that, you know, they'd have things, adequate things like personnel and equipment and medications, all part of a plan, you know, to respond to a pandemic. You think they'd have that? Well, they don't. They don't have anything really adequate to fight an infectious disease outbreak. So what do you suppose the Department of Homeland Security did with the money? Want to take a guess?
Oh, gee. I'd be here an hour.
Well,
tell us.
Yes, they purchased ammunition, guns, and tanks. Not the kind of stuff you would use to fight a disease. Well, in the Inspector General's report, it did say that they have no protocols or procedures in place to replenish any necessary equipment for things like medicines, because they have no inventory controls to monitor those stockpiles and no oversight procedures in place either. So, I mean, even if they had syringes and drugs, they don't know where it is. It's sort of like, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie at the end, where they're putting the Ark of the Covenant in a box and they're storing it in a government warehouse, and nobody will find it, right?
Yeah.
Nobody will find it. So it's like our entire nation is really, it's kind of like it's on autopilot. No one's flying the plane. And it seems the Department of Homeland Security would be as prepared as Africa in dealing with a pandemic.
Yeah.
Here's what Steve King, he's a representative for Iowa. He got in deep doo-doo for saying this. I think it was very truthful, though. He said, heaven has a wall, a gate, and strict immigration policy. Hell has open borders. Yeah?
I've heard that, yes. I saw that, yeah.
So are America, are we putting too much trust in the government agencies and these agencies that are not equipped to help people recover from disease? I'd say yes. But you know what? These same agencies are prepared for one area. You know what they're prepared for? They're prepared for mortality. They have all these things lined up to deal with that. Mortality. That's what they're prepared for. That's what they stockpiled for.
Yep.
Is anybody astonished?
No.
Oh. Well.
We should.
Well, I know, but, you know, planning requires a list, and your list is going to be better than what the Department of Homeland Security has stockpiled, for sure. Just get going there. And don't forget, you know, do your backup medicines. They have a 10-year shelf life. So your herbs, as I mentioned, really will have broad spectrum and very targeted action with that super nutrition built into them. So really, now's the time to add that to your prepared plan, because there's this old saying, Melanie, the time to learn to shoot the gun is not during the war. So, you just can't find that bottled water and the generators under a hurricane threat. So likewise, the availability of your professional strength immune support herbs are going to be hard to come by if you're going to leave it to last minute.
Hey, what do you think about this? This is a little off topic. We only got 30 seconds, and I want you to make sure you get your phone number out. What do you think about those deaths in the Dominican Republic?
With the Ebola going on?
Well, the people dying.
Mm-hmm.
The tourists.
Yeah. Oh, the tourist thing. Yeah, that's a mystery, isn't it? They still haven't really said exactly what that is, but they're dying when they're off the boat on an excursion. You know?
They've
left the compound, and I think they're being attacked. I think it's deliberate, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what it is, I don't know. I think it's probably they're going to wind up, it's going to be poisoning.
Hey, give us your telephone number.
Oh, yeah, Father's Day sale, 20% off, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. See you
next time. Thank you,
Wendy. Bye.
And we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few short minutes. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melanie Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TruthAndEducationRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And Dave, before we get in and we start talking about the consumer prices, I just wanted to mention a little bit about for the first time in the history of the United States, what a milestone. The federal government has spent more than $3 trillion in the first 8 months of the fiscal year. Now, this is according to the monthly Treasury statement that was released today. Is that a lot of money, Dave?
That's pretty substantial, I'd say.
The record. That's $3 trillion that the federal government spent in October through May of fiscal
2019. I bet you they didn't take in that much money.
No, they didn't.
You mean the debt is on the rise?
No. Really?
Oh,
but it was...
What's an American to do?
Yeah, it was $181 billion more than the previous record of $2.8 trillion in constant May 2019 numbers that the government had spent. The total federal tax revenues in the first 8 months of the fiscal 2019 hit $2.2 trillion, which fell $5.6 trillion short of the record $2.28 trillion. That the Treasury collected in total tax revenues in the first 8 months of 2016. And even with the second highest tax revenues ever collected in the first 8 months of the fiscal year, the federal government still ran a deficit for those 8 months of $738 billion. And, you know, it talks about... Okay.
That was applause.
Is that what that was? the table 3 of the monthly Treasury statement, it summarizes the federal receipts and the outlays, and it indicated the Department of Health and Human Services cost the most money, accounting for $834 billion in the first 8 months. Social Security Administration cost the second, accounting for $730 billion. Then, of course, the Department of Defense was third at $439, but we know they got a heck of a lot more to be spending here shortly. So the combined $1.5 trillion, and I'm rounding these numbers out, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually closer to $1.6 trillion of the federal government spent on HHS, Health and Human Services, and the Social Security Administration. So you know, ladies and gentlemen, what programs they're going to go after. I mean, it's a given. They got to do something about it because it's unsustainable. They cannot, it is going to default. It's a debt that can't be paid. Doesn't matter how much money you put in. They're going to address it. And personally, what I believe that's this big push on the stock market to keep everybody, you know, what are they going to do if the stock market crashes by 50, 60, 70%? All that retirement money. I mean, big dreams of retirement dreams, poof, just disappeared. And it's not coming back this time, ladies and gentlemen, because this is all phony. It isn't real. The reality of people, you know, cashing in the retirement plan. Hey, those who have already, God bless you. You've lucked out. but many, many won't be able to collect it. Many, many is going to lose 50, 60, 70% of their retirement account money, and it's not coming back. So when is it going to happen? No one knows. But you can't continue with these types of numbers and think that all is well, and that there isn't going to be some sort of day of reckoning that isn't that far off. You know, one day reality will strike, and it's going to be nasty. And I know a lot of you listening have retirement accounts, pension plans, 401s, IRAs. So, and I know you listen to your financial planners, and you know they assure you that don't worry, it'll come back just like it did in 2008. That was just a little test, ladies and gentlemen. That was just a little test to see what they could do and how you would react. And it's not going to be pretty. And so I'm done preaching. But if you don't do something, ladies and gentlemen, with your funds or people that you know, your family, get it insured. Why wouldn't you purchase wealth insurance? So your best wealth insurance that you can buy is gold and silver. And the best place that you can buy it from is Discount Gold and Silver. We don't sensationalize products just to sell you something. We'll give you the facts on each product. We'll give you the best buys. You know what? If you look long and hard enough on the internet, yeah, you'll find somebody that might be a few cents cheaper. You don't even know who those people are. It's a computer. I mean, it just baffles me. Some of the smartest, the brightest, the most conservative, they just go online and act like it's private. It baffles me. Truly baffles me. Like storing your metals overseas. Oh, yeah. You're going to protect your metals from the U.S. government. Forget about the governments that you store your metals in. I mean, what makes you think that stuff is safe? And getting it back and selling it, the taxes, the issues. Good grief. And most of you, a lot of folks who end up storing their metals overseas, really don't have that much that you can hop into a plane and go get it, or go over there and deal with the financial planners wherever they might be, Singapore or wherever. You know, you're not jet setters. And now those are the people they get. Those are the people they target, because they can't do that. What are you going to do? Spend a couple $100,000 in litigation? You'll lose money if you just want to make a point. And that's what happens. So, but don't listen to me. Yeah, people have to learn the hard way. I guess that's what's called life. But you lose everything. Anyway, Dave, are you still there?
Hello.
Yes. Consumer prices barely rose in May. And of course, again, moderate inflation. Okay. See, they continue to lie to you, ladies and gentlemen. The CPI edged up 0.1% last month as a rebound in the cost of food was offset by cheaper gasoline. Is your gasoline that much cheaper, ladies and gentlemen? The CPI gained 0.3% in April. So in the 12 months through May, the CPI increased 1.8%, slowing from April's 1.9% gain. And, you know, it did show some pockets of inflation, rents, healthcare, but you know, no, but that's all right. I mean, who cares about that stuff? Hey, if we go to Medicare for all, who cares about healthcare costs rising solidly? You know, anyway, the Fed's Open Market Committee is scheduled to meet next week, and we'll have to see what happens with the backdrop of these rising trade tensions and, you know, the slowing growth and, of course, the big step down in the hiring department in May, Dave.
Well, those factors that you just mentioned, Melody, have led the markets to price in at least two interest rate cuts by the end of 2019. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said last week that the Fed was closely monitoring the implications of the trade war on the economy and would act as appropriate to sustain the expansion. Economic manipulation at its best. A rate cut, however, is not expected next week when the Open Market Committee finishes up its two-day meeting. Now, excluding that ever-volatile food and energy component, the CPI still nudged up 0.1% for the fourth straight month. That so-called core CPI was apparently held down by a big decline in the prices of used cars and trucks, as well as car insurance. Now, in the 12 months through May, the core CPI rose 2% even after advancing 2.1% in April. And of course, the U.S. dollar dropped sharply against the basket of currencies after the release of the data this morning. That's initially why U.S. Treasury yields fell as well.
The health, as I mentioned, healthcare costs, they did increase 0.3%, and it matched April's rise. And so you see a solid increase in healthcare costs at both the consumer and production levels. And so there you have it. Dave, sometimes, I mean, we do report these because this is, you know, this is what's the information that's given to us, and it's our job to dissect it and tell you the truth, which we do. But until we get to the truth, it's just mind-boggling. And why don't you tell us about mortgage applications for this week?
Oh, sure. A little bit more from Fantasyland. Sometimes I feel like a Disney character calling in from the Magic Kingdom, you know, talking about some of this stuff that just seems otherworldly. But the mortgage app application numbers this week put on the exclamation point on what's now a positive trend for mortgage lenders. Consumer demand for mortgages, both to purchase a home and to refinance, is way up thanks to falling interest rates. Now lender expectations are up as well. The net profit margin outlook for mortgage lenders moved into positive territory in the second quarter of this year for the first time in 3 years. That's according to Fannie Mae's quarterly survey. According to them, lenders are signaling strong demand-driven mortgage market dynamics with optimism for both their consumer demand and profitability outlooks reaching multi-year highs. Yippee! So for the first time in more than 2 years, lenders who are reporting are expecting growing refinance demand have become the majority. How long that will last, time will tell. I predict it won't be for as long as everyone hopes or plans or assumes.
Well, you know, the rates are down dramatically from the highs of last November. The average rate on the 30-year fix for conforming loan balances was just a little over 5% last fall, but it has now fallen to just below 4%. So that is a significant drop, and we saw that in the last few weeks, and it kind of created a little bit of a mini refinance boom. You had mortgage applications to refinance that jumped nearly 20%, 27% last week. Compared to the week before. And if you go back 1 year ago, they were 97% higher. So, and this is all according to the Mortgage Bankers Association. So big surge.
Yeah, consumer demand is surging. Lenders also reporting a shift in their credit standards. You know, after the foreclosure crisis, lending tightened up significantly with new regs imposed on lenders and some types of mortgages even banned outright. Now, those standards had been easing in recent years, but now appear to be tightening again. Lenders report that for all government-backed loans, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, and VA, the pace of easing has been slowing. Expectations for further easing have fallen to the lowest level since 2014.
Well, you know, we see a lot of drops in everywhere, but I mean, if you go to our top U.S. ports, they continue to see volume declines, don't they, Dave?
Well, they do. We're seeing that America's top two busiest container ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach, California reported declines in export volumes in May. That's amid the ongoing trade war with China. For LA, it marks the port's seventh straight month of declines in exports. The Port of Long Beach, meanwhile, registered a 19.5% decline in imports in May, which economists suggest it may reflect big box retailer concerns about inventory levels. Now, according to one analyst, some retailers have simply run out of room to store their new goods. The L.A. and Long Beach port complexes together handle about 40% of the nation's containerized import trade with China. The trade war boosted demand for what was already tight market conditions for warehouse space in that region, and that came as U.S. retailers sped up the import of goods from China to avoid new tariffs and ensure they have adequate supplies for the coming winter holidays, just 7 months away, Melody.
Well, you know, the National Retail Federation indicated these stores were loading up in goods to beat these tariffs. And, of course, we saw the president, or we heard the president, renew his threat to levy the duties if President Xi Jinping is not at the G20 meeting at the end of this month. And I know since it has been reported that he will be there. So the latest rounds of tariffs that have been imposed by the administration took effect last month on the $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. So what are these retailers are so backlogged in there? I mean, they're so full of inventory, they can't unload at the ports, or is the has the volume just decreased, or both?
Oh, I think it's both. I mean, I think, you know, the import volumes increased by 5.5% from last year in L.A., but, you know, the double-digit decline in import volume at Long Beach, which is just south of the L.A. port, a big contrast there. You know, still, there are a bunch of folks who think the import rise at L.A. You know, may partly reflect shipments from Vietnam, which has been a beneficiary of trade as, you know, more manufacturers are moving production anyway away from China.
Yeah. One thing we haven't looked at in a while is the Baltic Dry Index. We'll have to take a peek at that to see what that's doing. That was, you know, one of the, you know, indicators that we would watch, and it was steadily falling for, you know, a long time. It'd be interesting to see where it's at and compared to where it was in the Great Recession. But we're going to be heading into a break, and we're going to talk when we get back about there's another hedge fund out there, Paul Tudor Jones. Buy gold is the flashing sign. Buy gold. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Today is June 12th, 2019. And if I can pull up my gold and silver pricing, New York spot price aftermarket, we still have gold up a little over $6 at $13.33. Silver's up 3 pennies at $14.85. We almost hit 15 there for silver, but I don't know. It's just, I just can't believe it's fighting that level so hard. So it's a big, when it hits that 15, it's got to have a lot of triggers, you know, to sell. But we're going to talk about the billionaire hedge fund magnate, Paul Tudor Jones. That sounds like a billionaire's name, doesn't it? Paul Tudor Jones.
Indeed.
Said this morning that they should start adjusting their playbook to get ready for a looming Federal Reserve interest rate cut. He says that his recommended strategy is going to entail a bet on falling rates, rising gold, and as well as a bet against the U.S. dollar and stocks. He didn't think we'd have a first cut in 2019. He doesn't think we would have had one had we not gotten this tariff battle. And so it has accelerated everything. Indeed, markets are betting that the Fed enacts multiple rate hikes this year, or cuts this year. And the first one likely in July, another in September, and possibly a third as soon as December. And I'll tell you what, if these people are predicting this, so many cuts beginning in July, they're anticipating they wouldn't be doing this if they thought they could muddle through this, if something wasn't coming.
The R word?
Yeah,
they clearly see the dark clouds of a recession just on the horizon, moving quickly toward us.
And I think they're also betting because of the election year and so forth, and with President Trump. And although Wall Street, I would think, likes President Trump, but if we were in a recession going into the election, I would think it would hurt his chances.
Well,
but
yeah,
then
certainly.
Again, who knows? All bets are off when it comes to President Trump.
that's true. I mean, and the Fed is loath to act during major electoral periods for fear of there being further politicized. Yet, to the extent a recession will be upon us in 2020. And to the extent there's still room for the Fed to move, I believe you're going to be able to count on it. And that will further pave the way for a falling dollar and therefore a run for the gold hills and the silver hills. And, why wait, ladies and gentlemen, until the blast off has begun. I mean, it actually is, in the process of that. But get your gold and silver, before rates get much higher, and you can buy a little to much less, depending on how much you have to invest. Now, go ahead, Melanie.
No, I didn't know if you wanted to finish up on tariffs or if we wanted to go into talk a little bit about the infrastructure.
Move on to infrastructure. I mean, Jones, the billionaire, just views these tariffs as a big event. We haven't had any experience in modern times with them, he claims, and which is largely the case. So he says you have to readjust the entire
outlook. He sees an aggressive but short period of rate cuts. No, he didn't quantify that except to the extent of, there being possibly three over the course of 2019. So the Open Market Committee of the Fed meets next Tuesday and Wednesday. And, even if they don't move on rates, then they certainly signal what its future plans are in the months ahead.
Well, I don't think this is any big news. I think we all came to the conclusion that there wasn't going to be any type of infrastructure deal. Probably everything is off the table on that one after the talks blew up last month. But the White House Acting Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney, that's what he concurs, that there were probably no deal. He says, but we will have to work with them on spending matters. Well, of course they do. Or do they? Look how many trillions of dollars we've already spent so far this fiscal year. But there's a bunch of stuff we'll do. He says it's just the infrastructure. This is what he says, Mulvaney says. But we will have to work with them on spending manners. So there's a bunch of stuff we'll do. Stuff. It's just the infrastructure. The infrastructure is a big deal because it's crumbling, ladies and gentlemen, but there is no money to pay for it, and it's not going to get done. And if they decide to do that spending on infrastructure, I think they're going to hold the infrastructure for after the collapse, after the recession, or during the recession to try to pull us out. Just like they did where they, had the road works and the repairs and so forth. I think they'll say if it's after, somewhere along this line, I don't know if this is the recession to where they actually default on the debt, but this probably is. So I'm not sure how they could come up with money after that happens. They'll have a fresh slate. So I don't know how any of that works, Dave, but.
I'm not sure any of this does.
Yeah, or they.
Yeah. Or they. We do know that the Treasury will run out of money to pay government bills by the end of the summer sometime if Congress does not raise the debt ceiling, to fund commitments it's previously made. They have to pass, Congress, House and Senate, has to pass a spending bill by the end of September for the new fiscal year to avoid another government shutdown. Now, Mulvaney said he does believe the trade deal will pass in both the House and Senate, but he did question whether Nancy Pelosi would bring it to a vote. That'll be interesting. I believe there'll be some horse trading going on by both sides as Labor Day approaches.
Dave, when the tariffs all started about, I heard in one of President Trump's speeches, I just saw it today, he was talking about the trade deal with Mexico. That's a very good deal for the farmers, and the farmers love the USMCA or whatever it's called, the new NAFTA trade agreement. They love it, and it's going to bring them so much business and so forth. But on the other hand, we know how much they've been hurting. In the very beginning of this fight of the creating a new NAFTA, we heard a lot of Americans, patriots, farmers saying, well, if it hurts, if it's good for the country, because that's what they cared about, the country, and they were willing to take some pain. I don't know how long you can handle the pain as we read farmers are losing their businesses, farmers are committing, the suicide rates for farmers are increasing, along with the floods, you have something new, catalyst, adding to the pain and so forth. So when it comes to our Social Security, when it comes to the Medicare and things like that, are people willing to accept a little pain when they can't pay the bills anymore? We know they're going to increase the debt ceiling, but eventually there is going to be some sort of accountability that slaps everyone in the face, the reality. the day of reckoning. And how much are people willing to accept and to experience that pain? Who are they going to blame? Who are they going to strike out at? I don't know. But it's I don't think people are going to accept the pain. Some will. You know, I heard people, Dave, when we talked about the Mexican tariffs possibly last week, the first level was 5%. I heard people say, big deal, 5%. 5% can be a lot to someone. Have we become so cold? And you know, we talk about trade, but yet, and we talk about riding this country, but then we see it falling down in other places. So, and I'm not going to preach, Dave, but any comments to what I said, and then we'll move on.
Yes, but only that I believe people have been blinded by their political allegiances.
Regardless
of your party, your political leaning, your ideology, you know, it's just we're so dug in as a nation that you know, we're in this period where, and it's always been like this to a certain extent, I think to a much smaller extent, where I mean, people normally vote their economic interests, but particularly, I mean, in the case of farmers, and Midwest farmers make up the bulk of the number of farmers, perhaps not you know, in dollars produced. You know, you've got to look toward the corporate side on that, but just for, you know, the individual American farmers, you know, and those are the ones who you're alluding to, who said that, well, you know, if this is what it takes, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice because I think China's been taking advantage of us for so long, and if this gets us, you know, into a new reality where there's a more even playing field, well, then okay, I'll take this hit. However, I think there's a limit to that patience when people will be reminded, and they'll be reminded early and often next year as the primary season is upon us, how, for example, let's just take the tax cuts of late 2017, how, you know, the rich essentially have gotten richer as a result, and the middle class and poor have not done nearly as well. Will that be the breaking point where people decide, well, you know, I've had enough, you know, I don't mind sacrificing a little for my country, even a lot, you know, for a short period of time, but when I see, you know, these millionaires and billionaires that's making out like bandits, well, you know, I don't know how that manifests itself. If that, you know, shows up as, you know, in the voting booths as people voted for Trump in 16, you know, vote for whoever the Democratic nominee is in 2020. If there's a jump, you know, for a third independent party, if they just throw their hands up and say, that's it, I'm done with this process, I can't trust anybody anymore, no one is looking out for my best interest, you know, I sacrificed for the good of the nation and look where it's gotten me, I'm staying home.
Yeah.
That could be the biggest risk of all, Melody.
Well, you know what, you mentioned a third party. I think I thought in the last election, if there was ever a, maybe not in the last, but this election, I think it's prime for a third party, and not an independent, like, what was his name, Johnson? Was it Johnson that was on the...
Oh, yes, yeah, and yeah, last, in 2016. Johnson and Weld, the Johnson Weld ticket.
I mean, at least we would have had some real laughs. I mean, he was a hoot, but certainly wasn't, I don't think he was a credible candidate, but...
You're talking more like a John Anderson-esque third-party run. Who was the other guy? The rich computer guy, the Southern... Oh, gosh, I can't believe I'm forgetting him now. Whatever. I interrupted your
train. I don't remember which computer guy. But someone, I would think they would have a heck of a chance for a third. If we're getting to that point where people are fed up with the Democrats, people are fed up with the parties. They're both the same. They claim differences, but we're at this point in our country where I think a third party would really have an opportunity to, you know, to make some headway, and maybe not elected this time, but at least it would grow from there. But they keep putting in these people that don't have a chance. And it's, you know, it's like, really? And Dave, I can't even believe we're out of time. We haven't even gotten close to...
That's what Thursdays and Fridays are for, Melody.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what? Maybe I'll save this for my first segment on Friday. A lot of this this report of it isn't too outdated by then. Thank you, Dave. And I'm sorry. I just had a talker on today. And you too. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. In my dreams.